We have 12 power pack principles for living a dynamic Christian life. And then verses 14 through 21, how to treat our fellow man. So chapters 1 through 11 deal with doctrine. Chapters 12 through 16 deal with what we might call practical living. Romans 12 really presents a composite picture of the Christian life. Now, last Sunday night, we looked at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We talked about the appeal. Paul said, I urge you, I plead with you, I beg you. We talked about the basis of that appeal, the mercies of God. We talked about the nature of that appeal, that we are to be living sacrifices. And then the result of that appeal is that we are to render spiritual worship to God. Tonight, I want us to take a look at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, as we are going to spend 4 weeks here in Romans chapter 12. But Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So the church, as the body of Christ, is a significant and challenging depiction of what the church is. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Then Ephesians chapter 1, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then Paul in Colossians 1 and verse 18, he is also the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. So certainly this picture of the church as the body of Christ is mentioned a number of times here in Paul's epistles. So after our relationship with God has been established, and that's what he talked about, that we are to be living sacrifices to God, we have to begin establishing a relationship with one another. We are more than a worshiping group. We are more than a religious group of people. We are a family of God, the body of Christ. And each one is dependent upon the other. No one is the whole chain by himself. We are all links in the chain. No one person is the whole team, but each of us is a player on the team. We know that cars are made up of a multiplicity of parts, and each part is connected and dependent on the other part. If a little screw is missing from the carburetor, it will stop the whole car. We need each other. The church is no place for islands. Paul in Romans 14 and verse 7 said, "For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself." So to make this body life work, we have to learn to lean and support, relate and respond, give and take, confess and forgive, reach out and embrace, release and rely. We are different, but the love, the acceptance, the tolerance, the patience, the understanding are not optional luxuries, especially when our humanity sometimes crowds out our spirituality, and at times when our carnality crowds out that which should be heavenly. I want us to look at three things from these verses, and they all deal with humility. If we come to grips with humility, then I think we will certainly be the body of Christ that he intends us to be. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, the beginning verse that I read a moment ago, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each person a measure of faith." We must not have an exaggerated opinion of ourselves. There are no special classes in the church. We don't have a caste system in the church. Each single person is of equal value. Paul reminded us in Galatians 3, verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male or female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus." Every single person in the body of Christ is of equal value and of equal importance to God. No one group is more special than another group. No one individual or few individuals who are in the elite group. We are all sinners saved by grace. And when we come to the cross, we stood on level ground. It is important we understand that no one person is a VIP in the church. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God within me." Now that's true for all of us. We are what we are by the grace of God. We are equally loved, of equal value, of equal importance in the eyes of God. Sinners saved by grace. John Newton, formerly a slave trader, later came to Christ. How did it happen? He said one time, "Two things. I am a great sinner, but Jesus Christ is a great Savior." And of course, he gave us that wonderful song, "Amazing Grace." Philippians chapter 2 begins, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others." If I look to your needs, your heartaches, then I will be a better person. So we must not have an exaggerated opinion of ourselves. But not only are we to know ourselves, we must accept ourselves. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." We must accept whatever abilities and talents that God has given us to be used in the body. Not all of us, we recognize, have the same talents, have the same abilities. There are five talent people, one talent people, bi-talented people. But are we using those talents that God has given us to build up the body of Christ? That is the important thing. I remember reading about this fella at a ball game one time, and there was another man sitting up in the stands hollering, telling the players what they were doing wrong. And somebody said, "Who is that sitting up there in the stands?" "Well, he is one of the best players we have ever seen. The only problem, we can't get him down from the stands onto the playing field." Are you using your abilities and talents for God, whatever they are? But then number three, we need to understand that our talents, our gifts, our abilities are God-given. And this is Paul's list here in verses 6 through 8. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with a cheerfulness. Now, there are other gifts. People who can visit the sick, who work with young people, those who relate to seniors, good teachers, encouragers. One ministry that we can all be involved in. But whatever your talent, just say to God, I'm available. Use me. I want to be right with God, and then I want to be involved in the body life of the church, and I want to try my very best to make a contribution. Synergy, you've heard that word. The sum total is greater than the total of the separate parts. The word synergy comes from two words, sin together, ergo work. To work together. The process of becoming a whole, healthy body of Christ. There is an usness in the word synergy. When we work together, weep together, pray together, love together, share each other's burdens, worship together, struggle together, help together, the result is what we might call synergy. Remember reading the story about Jimmy Durante, an entertainer who is known for his distinctive nose. But they were having a show for veterans of World War II. And the producer of the show asked Durante, could you come and perform for us? Well, my schedule is tight. I'll come and stay 5 or 10 minutes. Then I'll have to leave. He came. He started entertaining. He was there 10 minutes. Then 15. Then 20. Then 30, then 35, then 40, and he finally left. The producer caught up with him and said, why did you stay so long? You told us that you could only stay 10 minutes, but you stayed 40. Durante said, come here. Look at that front row. There were two veterans. Both had lost an arm in the war. One lost a left arm, one a right arm. And as I was entertaining, those two men were applauding. The one with his left arm and the other with his right arm, applauding using each other's hand. That is synergy. When you're hurting, I want to be there. When you're in sorrow, I want to be there. When you have failed, I want to be there. We are a family of brothers and sisters who love and do our very best to accept and encourage each other. So I think this second section, Paul is encouraging us to do our best to discover our talents, to find our place in the body of Christ, to do our very best to work at making a contribution with the talent to the life of the church. And finally, give it your very best. One for all. All for one. I think that is one way of kind of summarizing what Paul is writing about here in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. We are the body of Christ. What a joy, what a privilege it is to be a part of the body of Christ. And I am thankful for every single member of the body of Christ here at this congregation. And I just pray that all of us will utilize our God-given talents to help this church to grow, but more importantly, to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. We're going to sing our song of encouragement, and if there's anyone here tonight who is ready to respond to the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, baptism, we hope that you'll come and make that decision tonight. If there's anyone here who desires the prayers of the congregation, we're here to pray with you, to pray for you, because again, we are the body of Christ. We're here to help, to encourage, to support one another in every way that we possibly can. So if we can serve you in any way this evening, please come right now as we stand together and sing.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how